Hi, I'm Phil Newman, and welcome to the Impact Online podcast. We are so glad you're here.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Impact Online. It's so good to be with you today. I want to bring a word of encouragement with you today, which I believe is going to be a great strength to you, and it's actually called the language of faith. Over the last month, we've been talking about the heart of impact, and it's actually creating a language amongst all of our impact family. And I just want to speak about the language of faith, because faith is the thing that actually pleases God, because God is desiring to restore a language of faith to his people. And we're going to look at the book of Acts today, because it was modeled by the birthing of the New Testament church, which became an unstoppable church. And God is wanting to bring attention to us in these days. And it's no accident that the Heart of Impact was actually launched on the beginning of June this year, which was actually Pentecost Sunday. It was a significant event which the early church was incredibly impacted by. And also we launched the Heart of Impact in our Impact family on Pentecost Sunday. And there's some transferable lessons I want to share with you today. In Acts 2 verse 1, it says, on the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were with one accord and in one place. Now the word Pentecost means 50. And 50 days under Moses' leadership, after the Passover lamb was sacrificed and they went into the wilderness to worship God, it was 50 days later, they celebrated the Feast of Pentecost, which was the day that the law was given to the children of Israel on Mount Sinai. Now, Jesus was our Passover lamb, crucified on Calvary, stayed on earth for the next 40 days after he was resurrected from the dead, and then he ascended into heaven, and he told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem. And then 10 days later, and that's right, exactly on the 50th day, the day of Pentecost, came the infilling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit fell upon them. Now, the Old Testament Pentecost was a feast to celebrate the giving of the law, but the New Testament Pentecost was a celebration of the giving of the Spirit. And the difference between the giving of the law and the Spirit was this. In the Old Testament, there was a trumpet sound on the day of Pentecost, and it tells us in the New Testament, there's also a sound from heaven. In the Old Testament, the law was written on tablets of stone, but under the New Testament, the law was now written on human hearts. Under the Old Testament, 3,000 people died on the day of Pentecost, but the New Testament, 3,000 people were saved and came to know Jesus. There's 120 people present in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, including Mary, the mother of Jesus. She was present at the birth of Jesus, but she's also present at the birth of the church. And so the New Testament church was birthed with the language of faith, or the language of the Spirit. In Acts 2 verse 4, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And that is the language of faith. Three things happen at Pentecost. Number one, God restored a pure language. In Zephaniah 3 and verse 9, it says, an interesting verse in the Old Testament, that then I will restore to the peoples, or to the nations, a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord and serve him with one accord. Now, if God promised to restore a pure language, it must have existed before. What was he talking about? What was he going to bring back? What was taken away? Well, it goes to Genesis 11 in the Tower of Babel, where the whole earth, it says there in verse 1, where it had one language and one speech. And they said, come and let us build ourselves a city, and whose tower will go to the top of the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad from the face of the earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, for they have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be able to be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language. They may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because the Lord confused the language and of all the earth, and the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. Now, the word Babel simply means a confused noise made by a number of voices. And so what was the pure language that they were speaking before God confused their language? And you know what it was? It was actually they had one language, one speech, one vision, one mission, one in agreement, one in unity. And it resulted that God said there was nothing they proposed to do that would be withheld from them. Now, there is a principle that's introduced us to us right there in the Old Testament. And this is it, that the place of agreement is the place of power. They were unstoppable. Whatever they proposed to do, that they could do. And the only way God could stop them was to scatter them by confusing their language. Now, in today's culture, we see a huge amount of independence. And I think as we're coming out of COVID, it has actually fueled a lot of confusion. Isolation, independence, and a scattering of many. And there's a confused language that's rampant in the world and also the church today. One thinks this and one thinks that. It's my opinion, their opinion, your opinion. You look at social media and there's a confused language of Christians, believers today. And, you know, but we see on the day of Pentecost that the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit wasn't just simply speaking in tongues, but they began to speak the pure language of faith. It was the language of what? Unity, of agreement and faith, because when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, your language changes because there becomes agreement. And this is what Heart of Impact's all about, agreement to our common mission and our common vision. There is alignment that we are actually better together as individuals and all of our Impact family together. But there's also assignment. What can I do personally? What, God, what are you calling me to do to advance our cause together? Because the Heart of Impact is the language of faith. We have six projects in all of our seven campuses and where every individual has an opportunity to rise up with this language of faith. And our mission is simply this, is to impact our world with the message of Jesus. And the Heart of Impact declares a common goal, a united vision, a mission or a voice to be heard, a language of faith that's been spoken that is changing the world. And this is what Zephaniah called that I'm going to restore a pure language. In the early Testament, exploded because they learnt the key of tapping into a pure language of faith where they were one and they were unstoppable. The Bible says they had one language and one speech, and it's so important that the Heart of Impact goes deep into our hearts and our lives. And we've been preaching about it right through June in our Connect group studies. We've been discussing it. We've been praying about it. And I'd encourage you today is ask the Holy Spirit, you know, what are you saying to me? How can I give? How can I go? And so the first thing is God restored a pure language. But the second thing, he restored a language of power. In Acts 2, it says there that the word of God that they received, they were baptized, and that the day it was about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers, and great fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. You see, the gospel went forward with power, and it came great fear on every soul as signs and wonders went throughout the land. And we see there is a number of things there. It says that they came with the apostles' doctrine. It talks about the word of God. They were all hearing the same thing, what God was saying to them. That's what the Heart of Impact does. We're hearing what God is saying. It talks about fellowship. There's worship. Their focus was on Jesus, lifting him up in one place, both in the temple and in house to house and in their connect groups, their small groups. There came breaking of bread, and that's what I call the welcome. Authentic relationships where discipleship takes place. Doesn't just happen on a Sunday morning, but actually it happens in our homes, in our connect groups, where we get discipled and we grow together in our faith. But then there was prayers, there was warfare. They prayed, they prophesied, they proclaimed the promises and the purposes of God, and it resulted in a great outpouring of God's Spirit, and people were getting saved, and signs and wonders were flowing. And that's what I believe, the Heart of Impact. There's a spirit of faith, there's a language of faith on our Heart of Impact projects as we speak, as we pray, as we prophesy and declare what God is saying, what God is doing in us, through us and amongst us. We're seeing a powerful move of the Holy Spirit in amazing ways. And the third thing, there was a language of purpose. in Acts 2 and verse 42, it says, now they all believed and were together and had all things in common, and they sold their possessions and all their goods and divided them among all as to anyone who had need. So continuing daily in one accord and in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. You see, the early church, they had all things in common. They were in one accord. And they shared a common purpose. Now, there was a question just recently, a survey put out to university students in the United States of America. And they said, if there was just one question that you could ask God, what would their question be? And I'm thinking, well, global warming, what's the answer? Or was COVID created in the lab? Or what's this with the global economy and with the wars and where's this all going? But you know, 75% that were surveyed asked this one question, and this is it. They said, what is my purpose? You see, our highest purpose in life is to fulfill God's mission and purpose, His will for each and every one of us. Understand something about God, that God dreams and then He creates. When He created you, He had a dream in mind for your life. When He had a dream that what he was calling you to accomplish and to do with your life. He didn't create you and then say, well, what am I going to do with Joe Blow? No. You know, Psalm 139 verse 15 says this so clearly. It says, my frame was not hidden from you, but I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Yet your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were written, the days fashioned for me, and when there is yet none of them. That word fashion means to frame, to preordain, or a plan of divine purpose of situation. Clearly, when God created you, He had a dream, He had a divine plan, He had a purpose for the days of your life. Ian Zerner's definition of success is this, is simply finding the will of God and doing it. You know, we can live our life on one or two levels. We can live our life on the lower level, which is our purpose and our dreams and our desires. Or we can live our life on the higher level, and that's God's purpose and God's dreams and God's plans for our life. And the early church, they were all aligned with the purposes of God. The Bible says that they had all things in common. They sold all their possessions. They divided as anyone had need. And our gifts, our talents, our abilities, we aren't called just to keep them to ourselves, to do what, when we want and how we want. But we're actually called to serve the purpose of God, to serve one another. And what Heart of Impact does, it actually aligns ourselves with the purposes of the kingdom of God, understanding that we are actually better together. Remember what I said earlier, the place of agreement is the place of power. Now, the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or the pure language of faith that I've been talking about today, is having one speech, one language, having one heart, one purpose, understanding we're actually better together, that we're prepared to lay down our lower purpose to pick up God's higher purpose and flow together in unity. And as we do, we become an unstoppable church. You know, the Heart of Impact is all about the language of faith, of the mission and the vision of impact. You know, the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. And that's why when we're moving in faith, God rewards faith and He blesses it and He moves on faith. So I want to encourage you today to invite the Lord, saying, God, what are you saying to me? How can I give? How can I go? How can I get involved? It's actually time to align yourself with the Heart of Impact, our vision and the mission of our Impact family. And as you do, as I do, as we do together, we're going to see so many people come to know Jesus. We'll see them added and being saved daily. We'll see people being healed, restored, made whole. Signs, wonders, and miracles. Revival in our land. It came as our agreement together. We'll see your friends and your family, your community, our nation, our world impacted with the message of Jesus as the pure language of faith and the Holy Spirit, because impact is becoming an unstoppable church where we're wanting to make Jesus famous and lifted up in our land. And it starts today. As you surrender your life to Jesus, if you're away from God, if you need to say, yes, Jesus, I want to start to live according to your purpose and your plans. I want to lay aside my lower purpose and my plans. Today, I want to encourage you to make that decision for Jesus. But also for all of us, I want to invite each one of us to align ourselves with the heart of impact. And you can look at our website, you can go online, you can pray, say, God, how can I get involved? How can I pray? How can I give? How can I go? How can I speak the language of faith? That over these next 12 months, we're going to see more people saved. We're going to see our communities, our nation, the ends of the earth impacted with the message and the love of Jesus. Why? Because the place of agreement is the place of power. It's the language of faith that we're all speaking and declaring together. And so right now, I want to invite you to say, if you want to say yes to Jesus, I want to invite you to pray this simple prayer together, and today it will change your life. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for those who are seeking for your higher purpose. And today we acknowledge that Jesus, you are our Lord. We ask you to forgive us of all of our sins. We surrender our lives, our lower purpose to you. And we thank you today that we're Christians. We're living for you as our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Well, God bless you. And I encourage you to really use this time, the language of faith, to be able to see the purposes of God go forward in you, through you, around you, and our impact family in a whole new level. God bless you. Enjoy your day.
Thanks for listening to our Impact Online podcast. We release a new episode every week, and you can access all our podcasts and videos via our website. Visit impactchurch.me for lots of extra resources. We'll see you next time at Impact Online.